NPR.
The political pressure on TikTok continues to ratchet up. This week, Biden administration officials are throwing support behind legislation that would essentially give an ultimatum to TikTok's Chinese parent company, ByteDance. Either sell TikTok to an entity not controlled by a, quote, foreign adversary, or be banned from U.S. app stores. And as I've been hearing about all this, I couldn't help but think about, well, Planet Money has a TikTok account that is run by a whole team of people. I wonder how they're feeling about this.
If you guys just want, like, really good tape, I can go crazy right now. I can be like, no, don't ban TikTok. No! No! Come on! Or I can be like, oh, yeah, ban it. I hate that place.
What a team player. That is Jack Corbett. For the past few years, Jack has been a video producer making TikToks for Planet Money. And like a lot of people, Jack picked up TikTok during the early days of the pandemic.
At first, I hated it, and I was like, this is the worst place ever. But then the algorithm, like, figured out what I wanted, and then, oh my gosh. Then I fell in love. And then I was like, oh, wait, we could do this.
So, also like many people, Jack has a personal and also professional interest in what happens with this app.
I personally don't think it's going to get banned, but I might be eating my words.
We'll see. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Adrian Ma. Today on the show, we'll be joined by NPR tech reporter Bobby Allen. He'll explain why lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are backing this bill, and a content creator tells us what it would mean for her livelihood.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HubSpot. More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Doing business has never felt harder. But you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You just need HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: higher quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today. This message comes from NPR sponsor Noom. Noom's first-ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, helps you build new habits for a healthier lifestyle. Check out The Noom Kitchen for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold. This message comes from Schwab. It's easy to invest in ideas you believe in with Schwab investing themes, like online music and videos, artificial intelligence, and electric vehicles. Choose from over 40 customizable themes. More at Schwab.com.
TikTok, of course, is not the only social media company to get scrutiny from lawmakers. Representatives from Meta, X, Snap, and Discord, they've all been dragged in front of Congress in recent months. But TikTok has a unique distinction as the only platform Congress is targeting for a potential ban. So what's up with that? To help explain, we've got Bobby Allen here, who covers tech for NPR.
I mean, I think people who don't use the app think it's just a bunch of 13-year-olds, like, dancing to Miley Cyrus, but I use TikTok every day. TikTokers are sophisticated. They have nuanced
views. You are very sophisticated, Bobby. Yes, we know this.
No, I don't think I am. But the TikTok users that I
see. When you TikTok, you have your pinky raised. Yes, as a sophisticated journalist who's followed TikTok for a while now, Bobby says this is not the first time officials have talked about banning it. Back in 2020, then-President Donald Trump tried to ban TikTok, but that attempt was actually blocked in court. Then, after that, various lawmakers threw around the idea. But Bobby says this time is a little different, starting with the fact that in a closely divided House of Representatives, this bill passed 352 in favor to only 65 against.
We're in an election year, and I think there's heightened concerns about disinformation moving on TikTok and influencing voters ahead of November. Two, there has been a concern among lawmakers that TikTok has been a place where there's been more pro-Palestinian content than pro-Israeli content in relation to the war in Gaza. TikTok denies this. But the sponsor of the bill in the House has said in press reports that this concern helped mobilize lawmakers to push the TikTok ban bill through. And number three is just this ongoing, long-running fear that China is this adversarial government that can't be trusted, that could spy on Americans and pollute our brains with disinformation. And that's been going on for a while.
And that last fear might have been amplified recently because days before the vote, TikTok decided to turn to its users. When they opened up the app, it prompted them to put in their zip code, gave them the name of their congressperson, and told them to call them and speak out against the bill.
The Hill was overwhelmed with calls. And actually, I think it ended up backfiring because for some lawmakers who were on the fence about voting against TikTok saw this and said, oh, that's really uncomfortable that this app owned by a Chinese company was able to mobilize thousands of people to call our offices and say they didn't want TikTok to be banned.
So, like we said earlier, this bill presents TikTok's Chinese parent company, ByteDance, with two options. One would involve being banned from U.S. app stores, which means TikTok users with the app on their phone, some 170 million of them, could not get updates, and eventually the app would just become unusable. But they could also avoid that by doing the other option, which would be to submit to a forced sale. But what would that involve?
Yeah, that's a great question, and nobody really knows. The only companies that could afford it are big tech companies, right? Microsoft or Meta or Amazon or Google. And right now, the feeling in Washington is we're trying to challenge the power of these big tech companies, not inflate their power. So then who else is going to buy it? Of course, we saw former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin saying he's going to get together a group of investors to try to make a bid. Others in the tech world are talking about putting bids together. But I think before we get ahead of ourselves, Adrian, I mean, ByteDance is not going to sell TikTok. The Chinese government is very protective about its technology, including the algorithm that powers TikTok. And so it's basically a foregone conclusion that Beijing is not going to let any U.S. company take its pride and joy technology, right? I mean, this is the one instance of a Chinese social media app actually lapping Silicon Valley.
And they have a lot of other users outside the U.S., about 1 billion worldwide. Now, many countries like the U.S. have banned government workers from downloading the app. And a couple years ago, India banned it outright. But the U.S. seems to be the only country currently considering an outright ban. Either way, ByteDance has tried to head off concerns in the U.S. about its connection to the Chinese government. Bobby actually came on the show a year ago and told us about this thing called Project Texas, which is this $1.5 billion initiative where TikTok would work with Oracle, an American company, to move U.S. TikTok users' data onto these servers in Texas. So what happened with that?
Well, even though it's staffed by thousands of people, and even though it was this good faith effort, according to national security experts I've talked to, it hasn't really operated like that in practice. And a key problem is it basically sets up TikTok to police itself.
So now TikTok is on the back foot, and it's attempting to emphasize the economic impact a ban would have on its users. According to this paid report by an economics consulting firm called Oxford Economics, TikTok contributed $24 billion to the U.S. economy last year. And for one little piece of that, you can thank Maddie Park.
I would definitely get a pay cut if TikTok got banned. I would say 99% of my income comes from brands working with me to promote their product.
Maddie is a creator. She makes food recipes and posts about them on social media. And she says TikTok is where she first gained an audience. Now, she says if TikTok were banned, she still could post on other video apps like YouTube and Instagram Reels, and maybe her sponsors would follow her there too. But she also says the vibe in those other apps is not the same.
I tell stories on my food videos, and I posted the same video on all three platforms, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, kind of like a message sending out like girl power and women having independent choices in dating and whatnot. And TikTok garnered this really positive response from women who are happy to hear it. And then YouTube, it went viral on its own, but it went hate viral, where all these men showed up and started hating on the video. So it was very interesting where the algorithm was taking the video to.
By contrast, Maddie says TikTok's algorithm just seems better at showing people videos they actually want to see. And Planet Money's Jack Corbett agrees. But he also says that if TikTok actually does get banned from app stores, he can kind of see the humor in it.
the idea that like it would already be on your phone and they just wouldn't be able to update it. And so eventually over time it would just get like really bad and glitchy. That's like a funny way to go. It's not dramatic at all. It just like slowly becomes like a very bad app, like Instagram Reels. Not like I don't want to, I'm not trying to hate on Instagram Reels. It's awesome. It's
that
just kind of like,
sounds like that's what you're doing.
The algorithm is just not, it's not the same.
Yeah, that algorithmic secret sauce is why millions of Americans are really, really into this app. And frankly, why a lot of lawmakers are really concerned about it. This episode was produced by Corey Bridges with engineering by James Willits. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Kagan Cannon's our editor, and The Indicator's a production of NPR.
It's a high-stakes election year, so it's not enough to just follow along. You need to understand what's happening so you are fully informed come November. Every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast, our political reporters break down important stories and backstories from the campaign trail so you understand why it matters to you. Listen to the NPR Politics Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for NPR and the following message come from W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Allianz Travel Insurance. With benefits kicking in as close as 100 miles from home, you can protect your travel plans whether you're driving across state lines or flying cross-country. Learn more at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.